Sports Radio, coming to you live here on Sports Talk Over Coffee with Andrea and Couch. I have Andrea online. Good morning, dear.
Good morning, my long-lost friend. How are you doing?
I'm alive and kicking, and it's been one of those. But you know what's happening is Major League Baseball is beginning to heat up a little bit, and we're just really barely into spring training.
Well, I'm just surprised that you're still posting football stuff. Not
well,
surprised in a way. I mean, I'm just surprised that people just don't get it. It's time to move on. It's baseball season.
Yeah.
Don't baseball lovers get any time for themselves if football is always going on, for real?
Yeah, that's how it works, you see. That's what happens when you're the most popular sport in the country.
It's funny because I was thinking about this, and I know that, and it's okay. I mean, I understand that people feel that baseball is, like, slow and boring sometimes, and, I mean, I get that, but so what makes football the most popular sport must be all the, you know, kicking and falling down and concussioning and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff because it's,
yep,
it makes for excitement.
And the police blotter. And
which is the same thing that's going to drive football out, like, in general, because, you know, a lot of parents aren't – I mean, how would you feel about your kid playing football these days?
I guess – I'm lucky I don't have to make that decision. I can sit here and say all day long that I'd let my kid play football. I could do that, okay? But I'm not in that situation. I have two girls that are cheerleaders, so
right.
I wouldn't necessarily know whether or not that I would take that chance with my son, you know, modern day, right now. Would that be it'd be an issue? The question would be, how serious of an issue it would be. If you wanted to be a kicker, that's not going to be a problem. But if you're in a position on the football field, it might be a problem.
Lenny's son is 14 now, and, you know, he played football. And the thing is that you kind of have to weigh the pros and cons and the fact that, you know, football offers a young boy, like, you know, so much more than just a concussion. Like, a lot of good positive things come from being able to play football and, like, you know, being social at school and being able, you know, losing as a team, winning as a team, whatever sports offer, you know, and, like, how how much is it worth to – I don't know. I would let my kid play, and I would risk it because that's, you know, the risk you take. But I think that just walking outside, a tree could fall down on you, you know?
Well, yeah, you look at that. Heck, all you got to do is look at my Facebook and see a tree that fell down in my front yard. Normally, I park my car in the driveway. That day, I just happened not to. And sure enough, the tree, you just never know when that tree branch is going to fall down. You're absolutely right. It's a good point as far as football is concerned. Whether or not that it's going to continue to be an issue each and every year, or will they ever get? I honestly
Come on,
don't
we
think
can
they'll ever get it under
freaking
control.
Mode,
but
we can helmet good enough for people to be protected. Let's go, people. You know, we got space shuttle and NASA and freaking we're, you know, taking tendons from butt parts and stuff, you know, and sewing it on your elbow, but we can't make a helmet that keeps people from whacking their brain. I don't know. Okay, anyways, moving on to baseball. So we have missed each other for the last couple of weeks, right? We don't even remember where we left off.
I don't remember where we left off, but there is an important pressing issue.
Talk
right now
me.
That I want it's a hot button for me as far as things when it comes to even day-to-day life is that Rod Barajas found his World Series ring in his wife's shoe after 4 years. Now, the question that I have.
Wait,
okay,
what did you – he did what?
Rod Barajas, you know who
right.
he is, right? Okay.
Yeah.
He lost his World Series ring that he won with the Diamondbacks when they beat the Yankees back in 2001,
okay?
4 years ago, okay?
Okay.
All right. He just found it yesterday, and he found it in his wife's shoe.
Okay.
Now, the question that I have here is he stupid for not looking in his wife's shoe, or does his wife just have too many damn pairs of shoes, I mean, to where she hadn't been able to put her foot in and go, oh, here you go, Rod. 4 years in the same shoe.
You know what's funny? I mean, this is not even funny at all because people are probably going to like automatically assume that I have bad character. But the first thing I thought of, and maybe this is probably some insight for you as a woman, maybe she was hiding that ring. Like maybe she was like getting ready to, maybe she was worried about leaving him or him leaving her or something. And she was like stashing it away so that, you know, she could get money. Or maybe she wanted, you know, just to be a bitch. She's hiding it from him.
Hey, there's always that chance, but it was that she was...
Or maybe, like, their maid or nanny, like, was going to steal it or something, because, you know... Why would it be in his wife's shoe?
Foot,
I mean, that makes no sense, so...
She put her foot in the shoe, and amazingly enough, there was this...
Why is that even news?
Well, first of all, that is a good point. But second of all, it does say something about women in their shoes. If you haven't put your foot in that shoe for 4 years, why the hell do you even have the shoe?
I just
why
wonder why that's a printing issue. No, waiting for something, some serious shit here.
Yeah, no.
Nothing.
It is serious for men. I mean, geez.
Texas. There's some shit going on over there in Texas. Why don't you tell me that? What's going down with them trying to get rid of Nolan Ryan? They're trying to say that he's like the next, not Nolan Ryan, but the guy that's trying to push him out. I can't remember his name, but like he's the next, what's the dude that owns the Cowboys?
You mean Jerry Jones, you mean? Or
you didn't hear anything about the Nolan Ryan and the CEO and all this? I don't have all the facts in front of me, so what I do know is that they promoted some other guys within the system to basically kind of, even though Nolan Ryan still has the same title, not really have the same authority to make decisions.
Yeah.
And
I missed who you were talking about. Yeah, John Daniels is the guy that is trying to – I don't know. It's kind of interesting that you say it's a power struggle, and it's one of these things, and I think, and I just say think, this team had been successful before Nolan Ryan stepped in over here in Texas. Now, they were on their way, but to finally get them to the World Series and get them to where they were doing well in the playoffs and things of that sort, Nolan Ryan had a great big hand in that. John Daniels, on the other hand, he had a big hand in it. So, frankly, they should hold hands and be happy. However,
well,
you
apparently
know what it's all
comes,
about.
I
it's
think
about
what is
ego.
Coming down to is that they just have different directions that they want to take the team in. So, you know, it's like it's basically what happens in any sort of, you know, big organization like that. You know, if you can't agree on which direction to go to, everybody on one side take hands and then they push the other guy out. But I can't imagine pushing Nolan Ryan out. I mean, nobody's really admitting it. Like, as far as Nolan Ryan and, you know, John Daniels, doesn't that, for some reason, that just sounds like the coach of the Denver Broncos. Who's the old coach of the Denver Broncos?
Josh Daniels is
okay.
The old one. Yeah, so.
Okay, yeah, but, right. Okay, so anyway, that was interesting. And then the fact that they've lost one of their good pitchers, so, you know, one of their starters, Garza's out, like, to start the season. And, you know, of course, the rumors are going around about them picking up Loesch because – you know, there's only one guy out there available, like, that's free right now. So I don't think they really need to go pick up Loesch, do you?
You know, last year we talked about pitching in Texas. And,
right.
And I told you I wasn't very confident in the pitching last year. But Loesch, I don't know. And I don't know who's available. So, and I'm sure you'll fill me in because I'm sure you got a list. But Loesch, I don't think is the answer. No, I think there could be somebody else that they can go up and grab up that would help that team a little bit more better.
Well, I mean, even really, do they need to? Because they were, you know, with the pitching staff that they have, what I'm trying to get here mostly is like I'm kind of a fan of Ovando anyway, and I knew they were going to put him back in the rotation. He's going super late in drafts. Like, people are forgetting all about him. And remember, I think it was the year before last, they had to stick him in the rotation because someone was injured.
I'm not sure. I remember what you're talking about.
He was a bullpen guy, and he took a place of somebody in the rotation, and he did a good job. Like, he struck out batters, and he ate up some innings, and, you know, didn't really cause too much of a scene in there. And then I think last year he went back to the bullpen role for the most part, but they were planning on already putting him back in the rotation. So you got guys on Texas, like people forget, even though Texas is a hit home run park, know that, you know, isn't good for pitchers. Texas has some pitchers like Colby Lewis is not being paid attention to at all in drafts. It's funny, dude. I'm doing this NFBC draft, and it's my first year playing in the National Fantasy Baseball Championship, you know, dealio. So I think that it's a 15-team league, and it's a slow draft. It's 50 rounds, and the best part about it is, like, you draft 50 players, and that's what you roll with for the season. I don't have anybody, like, harping on me for trading. Nobody can trade with me. There's no trading. So,
right.
Like, I have people bugging me and telling me I'm not paying attention to them, and, you know, I don't have to do my, like, figure out who I'm going to pick up or when I can pick them up, because you can't pick up any – that's all you get, you know? So I think I'll be pretty good at it, but it's interesting because I'm just noticing a whole bunch of stuff. We're in like round 15 right now, and you know, all these. I just see all these players that, of course, you know, are being drafted. The hype, you know, sometimes players, you know, a couple years ago it was McCutcheon. Well, now he's totally worth drafting in the first round, but, you know, everybody starts talking about McCutcheon as a sleeper, and then all of a sudden you're drafting McCutcheon like before you should be, because hype,
right.
You know, and then that's when you got to figure out like a whole new set of sleepers, and that's what we got to do now.
Well, I think there's also something to be said about these other leagues. Now, you're playing in a different kind of league, but also some of these players who are maybe marginal players and pretty good players that you could, depending on what kind of league you play in, like when we played in that one league where you were bidding on them, I was grabbing up people for a buck that were, you know, everyday players who brought you good fantasy points. I mean,
And play every day, and they have a starting job, and they're a dollar.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing about auction drafts, you know, you got to pay attention to how much money other people are spending. If they're,
absolutely,
like, spending a ton of more money than they should be at the beginning, then you know that they're going to run out of money eventually, and it's all about patience. But if nobody's spending any money, like, you got to jump in and do that. As far as, like, the snake draft goes, I think what happens is, like, all these experts and all these freaking, you know, labor and tout and all these drafts are going on, and everybody listens for information and wants to know sleepers, like, who's going to be good value in a draft, you know, where people aren't paying attention to this guy, and you're going to be able to get him for way cheaper than he's worth. Like, Jaime Garcia is a good example, and Anibal Sanchez is still on that sleeper list. But people, when everybody, all the experts talk about the same sleepers, everybody finds out about all the sleepers, and they're not sleepers anymore. And people are drafting them like, yeah, I'm going to draft this guy as a sleeper, but he's, you know, now he's not a sleeper, so he's not giving you the value that he was when nobody was talking about him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and here's what you do, okay? Especially in any league, go out and find the latest article about sleepers and find out who they're talking about, and you'll see who will be taking that jump maybe two or three rounds before he really needs to be because of what has been written. So that, believe it or not, I have that as a strategy. I find out who the latest guys, like maybe two or three days right before my draft, find out who is talking and who they're talking about, and find out who's going to be taken early, and find out the importance of that guy on your baseball team, whether or not you want them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually writing an article today, it'll be up at Fantasy Pros, about, you know, our new sleepers. We need a new round of sleepers. Like, we need a whole new group of sleepers, because those other ones are not sleeping anymore. Like, there's some really good late-round pitching out there. Even in this league, this NFBC league, I noticed, like, people started to take pitching really early. And I actually, like, I took Jordan Zimmerman probably way earlier than I needed to or should have, but I wanted him, and I wanted to make sure that I got him. Like, right now, there's, like, no closers left. And when there's 15 teams and, you know, you need saves, like, Chris Perez is left out there right now. And everybody's, like, really scared of Chris Perez because he had some soreness, and so they were holding him back in spring training, and he's dropped significantly, dude. I mean, he's actually started his exercises again, and they say that he's, like, now able to do full spring training regimen, and people aren't aware of that yet, so, like, right this year, I'm about to draft Chris Perez as quick as possible because he's one of the last closers left, and he's actually a real decent closer. I mean, you know, people... Drew Storen's already gone, and we don't even know if Drew Storen has a job. So it's players like that. And this Ferrari guy is another closer that strikes out a ton of batters, and these are the only two closers left. Those two and Betancourt were the only three closers that were, like, going to get some serious, that, you know, over 25 saves that were left on the board. And I'm thinking, it's crazy because some players, like, some closers that went, like, I don't know, I can't even come up with any right off the bat, but players that were considered sleepers, like, oh, Grilly, you know, here's Grilly. He's the new closer for, I believe it's Pittsburgh, and, you know, he was a sleeper because his name is not known to anybody that's played fantasy baseball, so it's like, this guy has a starting job, nobody's going to take the job from him, he's a sleeper. Well, now this guy's going before, like, what?
I don't know.
Could you hear me? Was I speaking still?
No, it sounded like a recording, like you were deleting a message.
If I want to delete, I should press 7.
That's what it said.
No, I don't want to delete me right now. I'm trying to make a point here. My freaking answering machine's like, okay, bitch, be quiet. You're done. So, like, anyway, and then here's another idea, even though I don't know how deep leagues are, but, you know, Daniel Bard is not being talked about at all. And I do know, because I looked him up the other day, like, what are they going to do with Daniel Bard? I know this guy wants to pitch again. It's not like his career is over because he tried to be a starter and got sent to the minor leagues, you know? I know that he's not hurt, and so I looked it up, and he actually, like, yesterday he struck out the side, and they were talking about how they wanted to really try to work on getting him back to his 2011 form. And even though they're not saying, you know, that's a closing role, where are they going to put him, as a starter or a closer? I would venture to say that Daniel Bard probably, after last season, never wants to be a starter again, right?
Yes.
And seriously, he has been raised in the Boston club, you know, to be a closer, so... You know, he takes 1 year to try to be a starter. It didn't work out. There's not a good, like, solid start closer in Boston right now. There's no Papelbon there. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't think that we've seen the last of Daniel Bard. And Heath Bell. Heath Bell went from San Diego, where he got tons of saves. Everybody loved Heath Bell as, like, a real solid guy. And he goes to Miami, and he just, for whatever reason, didn't do well at all. And now Heath Bell... You know, who knows, but Heath Bell is still a closer somewhere, you know. He's still, I think he's playing there. Regardless, you got to, like, remember these guys that aren't being talked about instead of, like, going out and drafting, like, Jansen and Grilly.
I'm not a fan of Grilly, but, yeah, I get what you're saying. So, but, you know, you're talking about, you know, pitching. You're talking about the Rangers. You know, Kyle Loesch, I guess he's out there, and I don't know. From some of the things that I've been hearing, that they are interested, they're not. Why they're not interested gets into John Daniels and Nolan Ryan, you know, and who's going to actually make these decisions. And my question, I guess, I have to you, that is that when you're the Texas Ranger, your most popular Texas Ranger in history has to be Nolan Ryan. He is your president and CEO. Then he got kind of pushed out of that position. Do you think they're trying to push Nolan Ryan in Texas out the door? And if they are, is that a good move?
Hell no, it's the stupidest move because you don't want to alienate fans, okay? I mean, and I don't know. I mean, some cities, you could never alienate fans enough to where they would not come to games or not be, you know, a fan of Texas or whatnot. But Texas has made some serious changes this year. You know, they've done some abrupt things. They got rid of Josh Hamilton. You know, they got rid of a lot of their offense. Now they're kind of, you know, and it's understandable to an extent because of the fact that they've made it to the World Series, you know, several times. They've gone that far, but they just can't seem to get it done. So, of course, changes needed to be made. But on top of that, I think that, you know, Nolan Ryan has, like you said, one of the, just the namesake of being Nolan Ryan and the things that he's done to get that club where it is and pitching, I think that it would be a very bad move for them to do it, not only for the fact that it makes them look like stupid, but for the fact that it's stupid decisions.
Why do you question Nolan Ryan in pitching? I guess that's one of the things that I think when I look at it. Now, if you want to question Nolan Ryan about whether or not Profar is going to be a good shortstop, I think that's a legitimate argument. Okay?
I don't really know what they're questioning him on. They're making decisions without him, though.
Just his what they're talking about is just his role there. And frankly, you know, and it seems like the hierarchy over in Rangerland is trying to push this guy out the door. But if there's going to be a certain person that you talk to in the Ranger organization about pitching, the first guy that you talk about is with Nolan Ryan. Okay, that would be like talking to me about playing quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you're not going to talk to me about talking about playing quarterback. You're going to talk to someone who knows about it. You're going to go to a former quarterback. Same thing here. So there's just got to be certain roles. It's almost like, you know, one of those wrestlers say, know your role and shut your mouth. Well, guess what? Nolan Ryan has not been known to shut his mouth about certain things that go up on his baseball team. Okay, so that's not going to happen. But if you're going to put him in a specific role, I think that's what it might be able to, you know, put the Band-Aid on the wound and stop the bleeding a little bit. But I don't necessarily know if it's Nolan Ryan saying, listen, I'm the guy pulling the trigger, or if it's John Daniels saying, wait a second, I'm the president of players.
Yeah,
personnel.
Well, that's what's happening.
It's
a power trip right now. And I think that beyond the fact of whether or not Nolan Ryan knows about pitching or whatnot, I don't think this guy likes the fact that anybody else has any right to make decisions. And apparently the guy has gotten pretty big for his britches and might need to go change them because whatever's going on, the rumors have it that Nolan Ryan might be out of there. It's interesting. We'll have to see what happens in Texas. I really questioned whether or not I should draft Beltre where I did, because Beltre is such a, you know, he's, I just went to the Ron Chandler, they have a first pitch forum that goes around like the country, and it's a big day seminar where we talk about, you know, the different players and what they've done and, you know, all the kinds of stats and stuff. And, you know, Ron Chandler's not a huge fan of Adrian Beltre, and I'm just like, nobody can tell me a good reason why that you're not a fan of Adrian Beltre, except for the fact that, you know, everybody has a bad season eventually. I mean, so you shouldn't draft Miguel Cabrera then, I guess, and you shouldn't draft, you know, I mean, because Beltre gives me no reason to think that he's not going to be completely healthy, and nobody's taking his job away. He's one of the best, if not the best, defensive third baseman in baseball, and the batting average, man, Jason Collette, one of my favorite writers, I think he really is my favorite writer now. He writes for RotoWire, but he came out with an article a couple weeks ago about batting average and how batting average has dropped 15%. Like, that's a huge drop in batting average over, like, the average over the player pool.
Yeah,
so when you're drafting in fantasy, you know, people sometimes they'll, you know, forget about a category. Like, they forget about getting saves because, you know, it's too scarce to get saves, or they don't really, you know, try to get a good catcher because there's only so many and they're not going to waste their, you know, good money on getting somebody that could just get injured so quickly and, you know, those kind of things. But nobody ever really talks about batting average. And I think it's when I first started playing fantasy baseball, I actually totally overlooked batting average because I assumed that when I was drafting a guy that got, you know, 25 stolen bases and 25 home runs and, you know, getting RBIs, you know,
he'd have a good average.
Yeah, right. You would think so, right? Just assume it. And no, that's not the case. A lot of times it's like the opposite. So when people aren't paying attention to their batting average and just assuming that when they're getting a good guy like Granderson, you know, that their batting average is going to be good, and it's not. So it's actually a place where fantasy owners can, like, get an edge because they're not paying attention. Like, I'm about to draft Scudero, and I'm telling you, I had a big conversation about it this morning with Scudero because he's not going to offer a ton. Like, I call him, like, the next Michael Young because he qualifies at second base and shortstop. And so, you know, those are two positions that, you know, you may need to fit somebody in throughout the season. And it's always good to have somebody that can work both those spots. He gets the 300 batting average. He's going to get 500 at-bats. Yeah, he's only going to hit, like, 9 home runs and get, like, 9 stolen bases. But when you're talking about a batting average, this guy can make the difference between, you know, a 270 batting average and a 274 batting average. And, that's a big difference in fantasy.
And when you look at, by the way, Beltre, just one point, you know the point, you just didn't say it. But the biggest point is that the guy plays injured. Okay, I'll tell you right now, there's not a player out in Major League Baseball that plays as well as he does injured. So that's him in a nutshell. Scudero, on the other hand, this guy, you say what you want about him, I want him on my team. I don't know what it is about this guy, and maybe it's because this is a guy that I have watched throughout his career, even in its minor leagues. The only reason why I knew about Scudero is because they did a documentary on the minor leagues of the White Sox, where he was run up through the minor league system there. That might have been until, obviously, he got to Boston, before I even knew about him. So I kind of root for this guy. But sometimes you got to put that to your side. But Scudero is a guy, he's got, you know, depending upon the situation, depending on where he's going to be, and how another important thing is how they're going to utilize that player throughout the season, and that's huge, especially in Scudero, because you just don't know what's going to happen with him. And I don't understand.
Yes, we do. He is an absolute starter. No one's taking his job away, dude. He has got the job. He's like Beltre. You set him and forget him, dude. I'm not kidding. This guy is about, I mean, this is not about getting a bunch of power or speed. Not even RBIs or runs per se. But what he is going to do is give you consistency. He's a set it and a forget it. And he is like way, I think that he is more valuable than people give him credit for just because he doesn't have like those crazy, you know, home run and stolen base numbers that we always look at now. Like, and when it's like the 14th or 15th round of your draft, and you're looking at Scudero, and you want to take chances on players like Brandon Belt. You want to take a chance, or I wanted to take a chance on Cameron Maybin, like Danny Espinosa. You know, he's got a shitty batting average, and he's never going to get any better. And, you know, it's like, I know that this guy's got the potential to steal me 25 bases and hit me 20 home runs. And with the Washington lineup, you know, he's going to get RBIs, he's going to get runs, and I think that it's just going to be huge. So I'm going to overlook the fact that the dude's never going to hit above 240, and I'm going to go ahead and draft him. And when you got a couple of those and you can stick in a Scudero, you know, wherever you need him, I swear, man, I think it was just like having Michael Young, you know, on the team, because he always had that huge batting average, and you didn't know where he was going to play, but you knew he was going to play, and you knew he was going to hit 300, you know, he wasn't going to get a shitload of power or speed, but he was always going to be there for you.
Yep. And in many positions. And matter of fact, Michael Young, first, second, third, shortstop, he had all of those in there. So when you get a guy like that, like I said, I think for the last 3 years, the best utility player in Major League Baseball is Michael Young. Well, Scudero's good too, but he doesn't qualify at all the positions like Michael Young did. That's why I'm saying.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, another guy too that did that for a year, and now Martin Prado, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember when he qualified at first, second, third, and outfield? It was like he qualified everywhere. He was just total, you know, utility guy. And then last year he hasn't really been on the radar because he hasn't really been given the opportunity, but now he's been traded over to another team and he's got a full-time job. And I know that he doesn't qualify everywhere, but I know that he qualifies at multiple. And I mean, I think that because he is a utility player in real life, that eventually, you know, he only needs 20 games at each position to qualify in most fantasy leagues. So Martin Prado is another guy, you know, but here's a guy that we're talking about, perfect example of a quote-unquote sleeper that is no longer a sleeper. So Martin Prado is actually going, like, even though I like Martin Prado, I won't draft him because people have already he's awake. He's not asleep anymore, you know?
Yep. And sometimes if you live a little bit too long on some of these early guys, you're going to miss out on some. By the way, let me find out what you think. And I say this because the Texas Rangers, they have, you know, they're trying to get back to the World Series. They're trying to build up what's going on. They have Profar on this football or on this team. Yeah, but they got a situation at shortstop. What do you do about shortstop on this baseball team? I got football on the mind.
Well, there's no doubt that Elvis Andrus has a job at shortstop. What they should do is probably try to get Ian Kinsler. I don't know. The problem with Texas right now is that they made all these changes, but they have several, not just Profar, but several young prospects that don't have anywhere to play. Like Mike Ault is another one that's I guess he could play outfield, but and now he's kind of hurt, but he's actually a third baseman, and where's he going to go? You know, Beltre's there. The other guy is Elvis Andrus. Elvis Andrus isn't going anywhere.
I'll tell you that there's been rumblings because this guy's going to want to have a contract that is huge.
Why doesn't he deserve a contract?
Well, I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve it. What I'm saying is that the powers to be and the folks that right around this area, they want to know if he's going to be worth the money that he is going to be seeking.
The funny thing about this, right? Because a few years ago, Elvis Andrus was Jurickson Profar, okay? A few years ago.
Yep.
Elvis Andrus was coming up, and it's like, it's so funny how we, you know, look at Profar and we think, well, we don't need Elvis Andrus anymore because, you know, here comes this young guy and he's going to be all this and that. Well, you know, 79-80% of them don't. And it's funny that's how management looks at rookies and prospects. Like, we don't need the guy that's actually played that position and got us to the World Series because he's been there both times they went to the World Series, and I think he's their leadoff batter, and, you know, he steals bases, and he's good. And I think that you were telling me last time we talked that he's got kind of an attitude or something lately, but...
You might have been talking to somebody else. I'm not a fan, per se, of Elvis Andrus. Okay, I'll put that out there.
Right.
I'm not overly excited about the guy. He may be worth a lot of money in other people's eyes. I'm thinking to myself, I'm probably just a little bit more interested. If this guy wants that amount of money, you let him go.
How much is it?
I don't know. I forget the number they were talking about, but they were talking about a huge amount of money. So what I'm saying is that if this guy is not going to fit into what your grand plan is, that the money, as far as money is concerned, you can go to Profar, and I don't know how much drop-off you're going to get from that. I really don't, because I don't think there's going to be much.
I wonder if he's eligible for arbitration, because he's been playing for Texas for a couple of years, several seasons, and if they're not going to give him, you know, he's probably playing hardball because he knows he's probably eligible for arbitration, and I don't have that in front of me, so I'm not saying that for sure, but, there could be a good chance of the fact that, you know, he knows what he's worth, and they're probably trying to jerk him around. I don't know. Anybody that would chase Nolan Ryan out of the door is probably some cheap ass.
I don't know, but Elvis Andrus, I don't know why anybody, you know, if you want to give him, this guy's young, and I get it, and he's a good player. I get everything that everybody's talking about, but I know there is some kind of thing going on as far as his contract and what's going on with him. And I don't know. I don't know how much is too much for Elvis Andrus, but I think if it finally gets to the point where it is too much, you can always drop back up on Profar. Now, one of the problems that people
he stole like 40 bases a couple years ago, and then last year he stole like – it was like he just – didn't run last year or something. I don't know if he was caught stealing a shitload or what, but I think that – I don't know what happened to his speed.
I got the number on him, okay? First of all, his agent, Scott Boras, which is everybody hates him. That's a problem. He wants $20 million a year for 8 years.
Well, Scott Boras is probably telling, number one, he doesn't take offers, dude. And everybody knows that nobody's offering his guy any, because he wants to see free agency. He waits for it, dude. He doesn't let his players sign extensions. In fact, I was watching MLB TV the other day. They were talking about like 10 or 20% of Scott Boras' clients ever actually sign extensions with the team that they are on.
Well, and that's his style. That's his style. Because let's be honest, he's going to make more money because guess who's going to step into the boat to grab him up? There's three teams that would be interested in piling money on this guy.
There's probably more than three.
Huh? Oh yeah, but the ones that are going to pile the money on.
St. Louis could be one at this point.
Say again.
St. Louis could be one now.
St. Louis spends money. That's what I'm saying. There are certain teams in Major League Baseball that spend money. One is St. Louis, the other is Boston, and the other, of course, is the New York Yankees. Okay, two of the three of those are American League teams, which he would fit right into the situation there, so he doesn't have to get outside of his comfort area. But I just think at some point.
The Yankees can't hire another shortstop right now, not even close. They couldn't even do it next year because, number one, they're trying not to sign any contracts, even though I heard Cashman say the other day that of course they'd like to stay under the tax luxury, whatever, but that they're not destitute to do that. But, I just love watching the Yankees fall apart, people.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you, I know why the Yankees are falling apart.
Their contracts are ridiculous.
Yeah, well, their contracts are ridiculous, without question. And
they can't hire Andrews because they're stuck with Jeter. They can't hire a third baseman because they're stuck with A-Rod. I mean, we all know they can't hire a first baseman because they're stuck with Teixeira. They can't hire pitchers. They got that problem everywhere. Right now,
well,
it's like we're going to see a Yankee team full of speed this year that I don't think ever seen. I mean, maybe someday before.
I think this all gets back to Steinbrenner passing away. I really do. I think that the total change in this team has happened because of the fact that George isn't there anymore and other people.
Or maybe he caused this. Sometimes, things take a couple years to pan out, and maybe because of the contracts that he did sign, put him in the spot that they're in now. Did you think of that?
I did do that, but I think the best wheeler and dealer in baseball was George Steinbrenner. If the guy.
Well, the thing about him is that he didn't care about.
Right now, I think if George Steinbrenner right now took a look at what was going on. By the way, yeah, he may be overpaying for A-Rod, but the fact that he's not going to play next year is going to suck. But here's the thing: a guy could wheel and deal. This guy would wheel and deal a $20 million contract and make people, and people would listen to George Steinbrenner. I think the fact that the hierarchy in New York right now is so stupid, okay, that they can't get rid of these things. I'll tell you right now, George Steinbrenner.
Nobody could get rid of that contract, dude.
I'm going to tell you right now, the only person that could do it was Steinbrenner. Because Steinbrenner, the guy wasn't afraid to throw money away. I mean,
are
you
kidding me, dude? I think that freaking those goddamn. I think these Yankees, dude, are behind this whole Miami scandal, with the list, now the new list with Nelson Cruz and Gio and A-Rod and all that. Because as soon as A-Rod, it came out that he was doing roids again, and as soon as he got hurt again with the same injury, and it's basically at this point like there's no possible way that he's ever going to be able to live out this contract. They freaking paid off that damn medical building, dude, and I swear, dude, the Yankees paid for this information so that they could somehow get out of their contract by proving that A-Rod is on steroids because they owe him like $100 million.
That's a Steinbrenner move. Like I said, whether it was by a trade,
and to put other names in it too, so it didn't look so obvious. But it just isn't it funny timing, though.
Oh, that's funny. And I don't know. There has to be there's probably a steroid clause in his contract, right?
Absolutely. If you at least for sure the Yankees would be able to get out of that contract somehow, because if he can't play baseball, because when you're signing a contract, the player has obligations as much as the they can't guarantee they'll be healthy, but they can guarantee that they'll follow the rules of baseball. Guarantee that the Yankees would save themselves about $50 million by paying off somebody. To give that, it was some ex-employee, dude, that came out with this list. Now here's another thing about that damn list, okay? You know, it's funny because I just don't get people's logic. And I don't care what you think or what you believe in or, who, you know, we can go on and on about this. But whether or not you think Brian Braun is on steroids, whether you think he got away with the system or, you know, whatever you think is going on, it just seems kind of, right, ironic that here comes Brian Braun's name is coming out again. And I saw these dude, there's copies of these notes that they got from this doctor. These notes, like, they go into, like, the regimen, the exact amount of each thing, and it's like, he was calling it, like, the Braun, it was like the Braun workout or the Braun something, the Ryan Braun regimen. It was like, you know, other players. But here's the deal. People say they're concerned that, you know, there's going to be some suspension over this, you know, that MLB is going to suspend. And it's like they're talking about it, and they're talking about it on MLB TV. They're talking about it on ESPN. They're talking about it on the freaking radio. People are talking about this like it's actually logically going to happen. MLB has to prove, and Ryan Braun showed us this, dude, if anybody showed us this, that they have to prove, I mean, they left that sample in the wrong place at the wrong time for 5 seconds too long, and now it doesn't count. And you're going to tell me that MLB is going to have the right to suspend a player over some hearsay or some stupid notes that they found when, you know, it's like basically, you know, MLB has to give them the test that MLB has approved, and it's all in the rule books, which test they get, where the company comes from, who gives the test, who, you know, what office it goes to be tested. These are, like, strict laws here. This is not, you know, we're just allowed to just suspend somebody because some fool, you know, had some shit wrote down. I mean, you know, it's like, well, Nelson Cruz could get suspended, Gio suspended, Ryan Braun suspended. Dude, are you kidding me?
Come on. Now,
I'm not joking around, dude. This is serious. People think that this is really good, some logistical shit.
Listen. I live in Couchland, okay? Okay, and that is and Couchland, okay, is by definition my little own little world, okay? And my little world is about common sense, okay?
Hello?
Now, you don't like my, I'm going to tell you, in this case, you don't like my common sense.
If it's common sense, I like it.
Well, my common sense is that where did these names come from? That's number one, okay? I don't think, and maybe it's me, and maybe it's because I'm too simplistic, but I don't think the names were planted at this place.
Oh, no, I don't either. I would be willing to bet money that all these fools are on steroids, and I could give a shit. But my point being that legally they can't suspend players from MLB because somebody had some note. They would actually have to test them and prove that their test came up dirty. So, yeah, we heard that you were on steroids, so now we're going to test you, but you already knew we were going to test you, so you took whatever it is that your doctor's giving you to beat the test, so you're not going to actually come up dirty, so there's nothing we can fucking do about it.
And that's what this place is. This is a place where you can be, and you can say whatever they're wanting to do. They can call it a cocktail, they can call whatever, but this place is a place where you beat the test, okay?
No, it isn't. Actually, this place is a place that gets you, seriously, dude, it's not even that big of a deal. Big deal. You take freaking HGH. But it's a lot of vitamins and it's a lot of shit. But and whatever it is, it's against MLB rules. And I would be willing to bet money that these guys actually were doing it. A-Rod, Gio, freaking Gio's dad, Gio's coach, dude, at the University of Florida, or Florida State, or whatever it was. He's been like the athletic coach for however many years, and his name was on the shit. Dude, they had, like, serious. Everything was written out for that exact player.
How different is this place, though, Andrea? How different is this from Balco? Okay? Say what you want.
Nothing different.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So if it's nothing different, however, I honestly think I take the conspiracy a little bit further. They have all this stuff that's supposedly supposed to help. I think they had the next best thing. They had to clear at Balco. They have something else, whatever it may be, to get them past these tests.
Certainly, obviously, because let me tell you what. Now, let's put logic in its place here. Now, we would have to honestly, dude, it's just too many things going against Ryan Braun to think that he's not on some roids, okay? But he must be still – you can't just not – I mean, we saw what happened to David Ortiz when he stopped taking steroids, dude. His bat speed slowed down. He couldn't hit the ball. Everybody said his career was over, and it took him a whole year at least, dude, to build his body up to be able to play – even what he was playing when he was on steroids. You can't just stop taking steroids and be Ryan Braun, you know? So let me ask you this. If we come to the conclusion that Ryan Braun is on roids and actually they're actually making roid regimens, dude, after Ryan Braun's regimen because it's that good, why in the world did he – I mean, nobody talked about his numbers after last year, but this guy went into the season with, you know, a big fat black cloud over his head that everybody knew that he was going to be shit. Because he couldn't do roids anymore and get away with it. This guy put up better numbers than he did the year before.
Well,
How is he still doing it? We have to believe that there is a way around the testing, dude. There's a way
around to beat it. And that,
you
know that old saying, information is value, okay?
Certainly,
and
dude. So why are we spending so much time on it?
That's the reason why that, and this is another proponent of mine. That's the reason why you've got to allow steroids in baseball.
Quit worrying about it, man. All you're doing is making
exactly. You got to figure out how to work it within your system because it's not going to go away. Because guess what? It's the best thing that's going on now, and if they're going to figure out a way to get around it, whether it's the clear from Balco or whatever the hell this stuff is, whatever they want to call it, there's still something out there on the horizon that is going to be in line because steroids will not go away.
Stem cells are the next best. Stem cells are going to be better than steroids because it's totally natural and it does the same shit. And now they've figured out a way to harvest stem cells and put them right back into your body, and
yep.
The stem cells do exactly what the steroids do. But you can't tell. So here's the deal, man. As far as I'm concerned, everybody's on roids, but as a fantasy owner, no one's getting suspended over it until they come up with a dirty UA, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as say what you want. You want Ryan Braun on your baseball team. You do. If you're fantasy and you don't, hey, that's fine. You don't want him, give him to me. I'll take Ryan Braun.
Sweet, yeah.
Give me the roid heads, okay? Give me
what do you think
is going to
happen? You really think that there's a chance of this guy getting suspended over some freaking notes when actually didn't get suspended when his test came up dirty?
Exactly. And that's the part where Major League Baseball has been known not to do the right things at all.
Oh, they have the players. The players have their own.
Maybe a list might be enough to where they'll decide to go ahead and try to suspend them. But that's
they
where
can't.
The Players Association will step in and say, oh, that's not happening. Or
absolutely not. And it doesn't happen in this.
Happen
it just doesn't
long.
Happen because of the fact MLB has implemented a certain standard of rules, dude, so that they can protect themselves and their whole process of testing. Players. I mean, this is all down to the T, exactly what to do, exactly what everything is, you know, it has to be exact, and you can't just, you know, and it protects the players as well. It's just like, you know, the court system that doesn't always work, but there is not without a doubt, dude, there is no way that MLB could say at this point, we're going to drop the hammer on Nelson Cruz, Gio Gonzalez, A-Rod, and all these people just because of the fact that some doctor, you know, has this stuff written out, because unless they can prove it and find it in their blood, then they can't, they have no right to do that.
And that's the funny thing about this whole thing. Okay, listen, I mean, we're doing a sports radio program, which, by the way, absolutely love doing, and these are players, okay? These are people, athletes that get paid to play a game, okay? So when you look at what everybody's doing in order for a athlete to play a game, and the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to put it out there all day long, there's not an athlete out there that is worth the $20 million, okay? It's not, I mean, you take
I
the
disagree.
Money factor. Well, I know.
Because you know how much money MLB is making, and you know Fox makes it, and everybody makes it. It's like the gas industry, man. It's like.
Would you love to play a sport for a living?
No.
I mean, you wouldn't want it, but most athletes, okay, would love to play a sport, play a game to make a living.
Yeah, they but unfortunately, dude, there's a lot more to it. That's why people are driven to take steroids in the first place, and
listen,
people can talk about, like,
That's outside pressures up on top of it, though, Andre. I'm telling you right now, they're getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. There are people out there busting their ass every single day.
Oh, I agree with you totally. I mean, it's
day to day.
They get paid
so
well.
They got it. And here's the thing. I hate to say this because it's going to sound horrible. You need to lower the players' salaries. I don't know about that.
I mean, regardless, it's all.
The fact that A-Rod made $28 million last year should make you gag. Okay.
Well, it makes
A-Rod
me gag.
The
dude was doing steroids and can't hit
in
the playoffs, dude.
The
that's what makes me gag. He can't even hit when he's on steroids.
Yeah,
and he's a dick, so it's not that hard to hate him.
You're not going to actually sit here and tell me, though, okay, that even though this guy is not a good baseball player. Are you serious?
Well, what I'm saying
he used to be, but he's
physically incapable of being a player, a good baseball player. And not only that, but he's just a dick, and he's easy to hate. And
that's right. And
on top of that,
players out. Hey, there's plenty of players in Major League Baseball, NFL, Sherman, one of them in the NFL. I just posted on my. There's plenty of players out there that are a dick, or they just make it very easy to hate them. But
I don't really.
Talent,
I mean,
I'm
not pretty much a good person to even talk to about it because I'm a Yankee hater in general. And then to top it off with A-Rod, but the biggest thing that I would be pissed off about as a Yankee fan, if I were one, is why the hell he can't hit when he's on steroids.
Well, you know, man, that's kind of funny. I mean, you know, everybody goes through times. I mean, there's no question this guy is going to be a Hall of Fame caliber type of player.
But I don't even know, dude. That'll be interesting
it's relevant, though. You know, the fact of the matter is however he's doing it, I mean, you don't get paid $32 million a year to play baseball unless you're damn good. And that being Yankee or not, okay? And I'm not throwing that number out. Back in 2010, the guy made $32 million. The guy's got some talent.
He did. He was the best player in baseball by far. But here's the thing, dude. I'm not even trying to say that A-Rod, it's his fault because, I mean, I would take the money if it was given to me. And, you know, I'd probably take every steroid in the world to keep up with my contract, you know. But the point is, the biggest point is that people, you know, in baseball need to really learn from the fact that, I mean, even as the Yankees, you know, you could have endless amounts of money and you could buy any player in the world and give them the biggest contract. But really, it has put the Yankees in a crappy spot because he may have been a good player, one of the best players ever, but he's never going to be again, and they know it. And that's why they paid off the doctor's assistant. The doctor's assistant is the one that got paid off the best.
Yeah, and you and I both know that whole situation is exactly, I think, what you're saying. I think if anybody, you know, no one wants this contract. And even after, but here's the thing. I think it's funny, okay, that baseball team that has got the overinflated ego like the Yankees do, okay, that they think they can get out of anything. Hey, if you can, you're going to do it. And
they will, too.
And
they'll get out of
it. If it comes back that the Yankees orchestrated this whole thing,
it'll never come out, dude, ever.
Should be known as a genius in baseball.
Nobody's even talking about it. I mean, I'm sorry, but it was the first thing that came to my mind, and nobody's even bringing that up at all. But I really think it could be true, but it won't ever come out. They're like the freaking mafia. Nobody's gonna be telling on them, dude.
Yeah, $146 million that A-Rod will be making from 2010 to 2017. And this right here, this situation right here is the reason why contracts in the NFL are not guaranteed.
Ooh, I'm on the clock.
You're on the clock. Go for it.
Oh, God damn it. I'm so sorry about my fucking cuss words, but holy shit, I'm so mad.
How many minutes do you have on your clock?
Because when I got onto this call, I have 7 hours, dude. But my problem is that there was two people that were drafting in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And guess who they picked?
I don't know what you said. You're in the 15th round,
and Perez.
So I have no clues. Oh, wow.
Okay, so I got to get Frieri then, okay? Or should I, man, at this point, I'm just like, right now, I have, as far as closers go, dude, Frieri's good because he's going to get me 80Ks, dude. And that's, oh, God. Okay, I'm going to have to get Frieri, dude. That's who I'm getting, Frieri, because...
Well, hold on. Don't make the pick. You have 7 hours to make it. Make sure you look at
it. Yeah, but I've been thinking about this all night because these people are hella slow. So I was going to get Scudero or look up at Todd Helton. Now, here's the funny thing about Helton. I needed somebody... I'm telling you, RotoWire. I shouldn't even be promoting RotoWire so much because, you know, Fantasy Pros is my thing. But I just can't say enough. Like, they have this draft software, right? So you download this draft software, and I enter into the draft software each time a player picks a guy, and it gives me projections, projected standings, like where I'm going to come in as far as home runs, RBIs, all the stats, and so I can see exactly where I need to, like, you know, work on my team. And I was talking about the batting average, and so I was really needing to work on the batting average, and so I'm looking at these players, and I figured either Scudero or Helton I was going to get, and because Todd Helton's like 37 years old, dude. This guy is not going to last forever.
Are you talking about the 39-year-old Todd Helton?
Yes, dude.
Okay.
Look at his batting average.
I get it. I get it. I understand. But what round are you? You're in the 15th round, right?
15th round with 15 teams, though. So
15th round, 15th team. This is your last pick, is what you're saying?
No, we have 50 rounds.
Oh, okay. Grab up Scudero. I'm telling you right now.
Scudero got picked. Dude, the problem is that I was going to get Scudero and Chris Perez, and they both just got taken right before my turn.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So if I add into my
there's got to be somebody better than Todd Helton, though. I'm not questioning whether or not the guy has talent, but it's sooner or later this guy's going to lose it.
I agree, dude, and he's probably not going to be there because there's a young kid coming up. Okay, so should we go? Look, man, we got Jaime Garcia. Let me read down the list of all the players, pitchers,
okay,
that are still available, dude. And I'm talking about pitchers that are going to be available in your league at, like, hella late. Justin Masterson, Colby Lewis, Clay Buchholz, Ricky Romero, Tommy Hansen, Jaime Garcia, Ogando. I mean, this is some serious stuff. What about Peter Burgos, dude?
Listen, I think you're busting your head. You know who you need to pick here. Who do you need to pick? You just listed off that little. Who do you need to pick?
Well, I needed a damn closer, dude, so I got Frieri.
Right.
And what else I needed, because I'm pretty much killing everybody in offense. I mean, but wait, is it Hunter I'm talking about? Hunter.
I think it's Hunter, dude, I'm talking about.
You're
no-braining this. What about Jaime Garcia?
I got to refresh myself here. Please, take it back. Back. Erase the message, press 7. Torrey Hunter is who I'm talking about.
Well, what about Jaime Garcia?
Let's go. Well, Jaime Garcia isn't going to go. He's, you know what his rank is, dude? 333. And do you know where we're drafting right now? We're drafting like 200. So I can still get him, like, in the next round or two, dude. And it's all about getting him in the right spot. I mean, these pitchers, Jaime Garcia, so my pitching so far, do you want to hear my team?
Yeah, who's your pitchers?
I have Jordan Zimmermann.
Okay.
Big
surprise.
Let me get my roto thing up here. Main view. Yeah, right. I got him. He's my first pitcher. And then I got Adam Wainwright, who I really like.
Yeah.
This year.
Should be ready to go after that injury, right?
Absolutely. He's going to be back to his old self. He's a huge deal. I got Tim Lincecum, who I also think is a huge deal.
Uh-huh.
And Anibal Sanchez. That's what I have so far, and I'm going to totally target Jaime Garcia, and I think that I can get him next time. So right now I need to get somebody because, you know, no matter where a guy's going to – whatever he's worth, when you're in a draft, and it's all about who's going to show up on the draft board. Like, you know,
right,
in the average draft spot for this particular league, there's like – it goes in a certain ranking order. For the NFBC,
right,
it's got like on my board right now, I see A-Rod still there, Hellickson, Carpenter, Garza, see, they're worthless to me. And, like, I don't have a catcher, and most of the catchers are gone. I could get
Garza. I mean, couldn't you get Garza late? I mean, even still later. I think Garza might be a good player.
Garza's injured and he's not worth shit.
Yeah, you could get him later. I think Garza has an opportunity now that he's on a different team. I think he can maybe straighten his head out and get back into the game.
Here's a guy for you. Michael Sanders, dude, or Michael Saunders from Seattle. And
yeah.
You can say what you will about Seattle, but by the way, they're hitting the crap out of the ball right now, and I like them
and
a lot. Michael Saunders,
just like it doesn't, count,
average,
it doesn't
so,
matter.
But so I don't have any catchers, and there's only two like catchers left that are going to hit any sort of home runs whatsoever. I mean, because you know when you have 15 teams and you need two catchers on each team, that's 30 catchers. So basically, every team in baseball starting catcher has to be taken, right?
I'm
at the point now where if I don't get Salty or Aaron Sibbia, dude, I'm like going to get a half-ass catcher.
Well, that might be the rate that you need to go. You got to see the power in your lineup.
Their batting average is so bad.
I know, but most.
Look up Torrey Hunter. Look up Torrey Hunter.
What about him?
Let's look him up.
All right, let me get him.
He's 37. He's the guy who thought. I didn't mean Todd Helton, dude. I meant Torrey Hunter. Did you hear that?
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say.
That's why I was saying erase the message, dude, because it wasn't, even though they're kind of the same. I mean, they're one and the same, really, but Torrey Hunter, dude, he's a starter.
Yeah, he plays for the Angels, got him up right here, got his stuff. What do you want to know?
Is he a starter?
Well, hold on. Well, I don't know. That all depends. Here's one thing: when you go into spring training not with a lock on your position, that's a problem, I think. But at the 15th round, that might be different for you. But
hey, I got to get my shit together. This is too much.
Yeah,
I need a minute.
But I don't know. I don't think he's going to start. I don't think he's got a grasp up on his position. I think center field is what he's going to be playing.
Angels outfield is so crowded; it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he's not going to – that's why you might want
to – That's why he's not worthy to me at all.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be an everyday player.
No, he plays for
–
hello, okay, we're wrong. Torrey Hunter plays for Detroit, and he's a starting center fielder, dude.
Oh, that's right. They did move him.
And he is 37. And he is – I mean, we're totally confusing ourselves here. Now, we can't do this because I'm in a freaking real draft here.
Well, Torrey Hunter – okay, got it.
But his batting average is very good. Now, Torrey Hunter, the problem is, even though he's like total veteran present and he's on RotoWire projected to get like 500 at-bats, you know, we got some young guys coming up right behind. Well, with Brandon Bosch, number one, he's not even a young guy. But,
right.
And Dierks, and you just... God, I mean, how long is this guy going to be able to hit, you know, 500 at-bats, 300 batting average? But since Scudero's gone, and I'm telling you, dude, as far as batting average goes, like I said, it gets very scarce. Yeah, I can find a guy that's going to hit me some home runs. And, I mean, Mark Reynolds is still there, and J.J. Hardy and Ryan Ludwig and Michael Saunders and Dustin Ackley and all these guys. But the batting average is horrible, dude. Those two catchers I mentioned, in Salty and Aaron Sibbia, yeah, dude, they're going to get me 25 home runs apiece, but their freaking batting average is like 210.
I understand.
I think it's more of like a detriment just to have him in my lineup, you know, if they're going to play every day.
So. Torrey Hunter, here's what you got in him. Played 140 games last year. 584 at bats. Okay, that's 16 less than the year before.
Oh, look how many years he's done that too.
Yeah, well, he only had 119 in 2009 because of injury. But after that, you're looking at least at 140 games a year. Even in the year where he only had 119 games played, he batted 500 times. He's been playing since 97. The guy's ancient. 16 years in the league, he's ancient. But here's the thing. When you can demand what he's demanding, I mean, the Tigers went out and got this guy for a reason. I don't know. The Tigers are a young baseball team, and they got him because of experience and everything else. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that. Who are they going to use in the DH over there?
In Detroit?
Yeah.
Let me see. I have DHs written down here. Victor Martinez, who, by the way, is not a sleeper anymore. He's going very early now all of a sudden.
By the
so.
Way, anybody who thought Victor Martinez was a sleeper isn't paying attention.
Well, actually, I have been paying attention, and he was going very late to begin the season because his stats from last year were not showing up for anybody because he didn't play last year. So a lot of people were missing him.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
That's why you got to keep track of an Adam Wainwright. You know, oh man, Torrey Hunter. I don't know, man. I don't know. But man, how about this? He made $18 million last year.
Jeez. He's a good veteran presence, and he's in shape. I mean, he's my age, and you know what? The first thing that comes to my mind is like, how can somebody my age forget play the outfield like him? But he does.
Yo, he's quick, and he's quick.
And he's
hell.
Good, and he's not really in jeopardy of losing his job, and they actually really like having him. And the best part about it is the fact that he's going to hit in that lineup right in the second spot, which is right before Miggy and Prince Fielder.
Yeah, yeah. Number two, number three, or they'll drop him to five, right?
They said that he was going to play. They said he was going to get the second. Number two in the lineup.
I think he drops to five, but that's okay. In reality, that's still all right. You know, it may take away.
I gotta take this guy, dude. Let's see what happens if I plug him in my RotoWire. See, I can plug him into my roster real quick.
Uh huh.
Okay, hold on a second. First, I gotta plug in my closer to see what happened to my stats. Now, I plugged in my let's plug in Torrey Hunter real quick. Come on, Beach. Tori. See, this is all just based on projections, and it doesn't really take into consideration that it's a computer, and it's not going off the fact that we know that humanly possible his age is going to catch up with him here.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he does what he's been doing, and he hits, why the hell does he have an Angels hat on?
Who, Torrey Hunter? Because they just haven't got a new picture with it.
For real. Come on, man. I'm already confused. Let's see what happens. Projected standings. RotoWire, thank you. What happens to my average? Now it's got me... that moved me from... See, it didn't do shit for my batting average.
Well,
didn't do anything for my batting average, dude.
He batted .313, but here's...
If I put him on my team, it's not going to get my batting average up enough to even bother.
And that might be something that you might need to look at. Last year, he batted .313, but here's the thing. Before that, .262, .282, .299, .278, .287. You know, like I said, at some point, this guy's going to turn, and he's not going to produce. I mean, I don't know. And I don't know if it's this year or next
batting
year, but that's a tough pick, I think.
What about Yonder Alonso, dude?
I'll be honest, don't know much about him.
Well, he's a San Diego first baseman, and, you know, they're moving the fences in a little bit in San Diego, so they might be able to hit a little better. And Yonder hits about .280, and he is not a rookie anymore. You know, he should hit about, I don't know, 15 home runs, .280 batting average. He'll get a few stolen bases, and, you know, he's an everyday first baseman. But
that's Torrey Hunter. I mean, Torrey Hunter, 16 home runs last year, 140 games played, .584 plate appearance. That's Torrey Hunter last year. If you think what Torrey Hunter did last year is good enough, which it may be, I mean, you know, but, you know, he did bat .313. I mean, you know, the problem in he's beginning to strike out a little bit more. It's slowly going up from 192 back in 2009 to 133. So he's beginning to catch that strikeout situation a little bit more. But, I mean, it's not in the day where Torrey Hunter was stealing 18, 19, 20 bags a year, okay? That Torrey Hunter is gone as far as the speed is concerned.
Okay, forget Torrey Hunter, dude. We're moving on. What about? Do you know anything about Stephen Drew? He's a shortstop in Boston now.
Well, I like Stephen Drew. I've always liked Stephen Drew. The problem is, and you're in the 15th round. You know, it just depends on what you think about him. And here's one thing I know about.
Healthy, okay. That's the question.
That's the question. You got to find out if he's going to be healthy and you know do what he does. He's playing for Boston, right?
He's Scudero though, dude. All he is
yeah.
is Scudero, and I can't
yeah.
take a Scudero. And the only thing that he was good at was the fact that he's eligible at a bunch of places, and he's not that anymore. So we're forgetting him. We can talk about Everett Cabrera, who's going to steal me about 40 bags, dude, and he'll play the middle infield.
What's his average though?
Sucky.
Well.
But like I said, dude, if I got a guy with a 290 batting average right now, it's not going to help me at all. So I got to forget about the batting average at this point. I need to take the best player that I can.
Well, Stephen Drew is not going to rip you up in your batting average. That's the only thing I like Stephen Drew.
He's 260.
Last year he batted 223.
Yeah, dude, and he hasn't even been healthy since 2010. The only reason
That's
I like him is because he's got a job in Boston. But
right.
we're going to forget about it because I have another guy in Boston I like. But what about Berjos for L.A.? So here's a guy, but I'm always just afraid he's going to be like Howie Kendrick, and you think that because he's got, like, a bunch of power around him in the lineup, you know, like with Trumbo and Trout and Pujols and all that, that he's going to automatically get some stuff, Peter Berjos, and this guy is like a little, I don't know, he's got the potential to get some stolen bases and some power, and the fact that he's in that lineup, but that freaking outfield is way too crowded.
Well, yeah,
Bonifacio's there.
I think I like him better.
But he might not have a job, dude.
Well, you see, and there's going to be a lot of guys playing to get a job, and that's tough. That's tough right now. While you still got a month of spring training to go, and it's hard to make these. I get it. You don't know if he's gonna win the job. But you know, at some point, you know, it's just like Torrey Hunter. At some point, you got to win a job. That's what he's trying to do up in Detroit. He's going to have to try to win a job because they're looking at those young guys and hoping they can do something. So, yeah, you got to hope that he can come out there and win a job. Will his name be enough? That's going to be the huge question with him, too. I mean, how many players are getting starting jobs because of their name? One would be Stephen Drew. Well, there's no competition at shortstop there.
Yeah, they don't have anybody else.
Yeah, they don't have anybody else, so he's kind of just locked in but just by default. But how many people are going to end up playing this year that probably shouldn't just because they got a good name?
How about Lorenzo Cain is interesting to me, and you know.
Lorenzo Cain. I can't
so
say I know a lot about him. Who is he?
Well, he's an outfielder. He was supposed to be good last year. You know, I like these guys that were supposed to be good last year. I really do. Like, and Dustin Ackley is another one that I'm pretty interested in. You know, the Seattle second baseman that everybody will.
I like him. I like him. I like him more than Lorenzo Cain just because. You know, I don't think these two franchises are great, but right now I think the team that's probably got more prospects of moving on and being better, I think I hate to say this, but I think Seattle right now might be in a better position to play better and be, you know, more competitive than the Kansas City Royals. Until the Royals and the Royals are my team. Until they do it, I want to see it happen.
Okay, let's do some serious soul-searching into Everett Cabrera right now.
And you got 7 hours to make that decision.
I know. I shouldn't be doing this on the phone, but this is a fantasy show, so what the hell.
And it is Friday, so there you go.
I don't know if I'm boring people or giving them information.
Well, no. I mean, we can talk about Lorenzo Cain. I mean, in reality, I mean,
Everett Cabrera.
You want to talk about a cheat? I like Kansas City. I love them. I'm not a closet Kansas City Royal fan. I am a Royal fan. They just suck. Until they
moved on Lorenzo Cain, not because of that, but because of the fact that if I'm going to get a guy to take a chance on, it would be Dustin Ackley, more so because of the fact that he plays second base and I need a middle infielder. And I have plenty of outfielders right now. So
Well, yeah, that you, if you got a crowded outfield, that he's not. That's where he plays. So
J.J. Hardy is there. He hit some home runs. Okay, look, man, Andy, Everett Cabrera. This guy is he was on the list. He was on the list at the Biogenesis Clinic.
Well, get him. That means he's taking something. That means he's going to be good.
He steals 45 bases.
There you go.
So, hold on. Let me see what they say about him here.
Oh, if he's on the list, I want him.
Look at his stats. Now, this guy's 25, 27. He'll be 26. 26 is good.
Right.
So, his numbers look like, he just doesn't have a good batting average, but he steals a ton of bases, and he'll hit a couple home runs. And where is he in San Diego? They're going to bring the fence. Okay, I got to take this guy. It's the fact that he steals 44 bases, right?
You still have 7 hours to make the decision, so.
Oh, motherfucker.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't like those guys that wait all that time.
Yeah, I know, but you shouldn't have to, unless you, right now in the 15th round, you got a lot of guys you can look at, more so than in the first 10 rounds where it's almost automatic, you know who you need and to grab it up.
Well, it's either going to be Salta Lamacchia or Everett Cabrera, so if anybody has any ideas, go ahead and Facebook it to me, because I put a picture up on Facebook just a little while before the show. Did you see it?
No, I did not.
You have access to your check it out. It's my spring training here. It's full of snow
right now. Hold on 1 second. Da 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 da.
It's snowing in my spring training.
There we go, Andrea. Let me see the picture. I seen that earlier. I was like, and the first question that came to my mind is why aren't you in?
Why am I here?
Yeah, why aren't you in Arizona?
Why in the hell am I here?
I thought you would be traveling. I thought you'd be in Arizona checking out spring training.
We were going to go to Florida,
Florida.
I had an emergency. And remember, I had to go to the West Coast because my grandma was dying. And
yes,
got
it. Yes, that's right. But yeah, come on. Florida sucks. I mean, it takes you 4 hours.
It's so hellish, and I'm actually happy I'm not there. It sucks so bad, dude. Arizona's the way to go. There's no doubt about it.
The heat is so much different. I mean,
okay, hello. It rains there every day. You have to drive hella far to get to anywhere.
4 hours to a stadium.
The game's rained out.
No more than an hour and 15 minutes. If you position yourself right in Arizona, you're no more than an hour and 15 minutes away from any field except for the one in Tucson.
Dude, you know what, Couch? I swear to God, I'm going to get myself a freaking school bus, and I'm going to get myself a license and some insurance, and I'm going to have a shuttle bus, dude, because there's no thing, dude, better than to be able to say, like, you could buy an all-day pass, you know, to go, and you can go to different games, because you're right, it's like the bus will stop here at this game at this time, and then we're all getting on the bus, like, whatever time, and then, you know, I'll just basically just be like the hotel shuttle at the airport. You just keep going around, and just whoever's waiting outside, you just pick them up, and you just, you know, travel from park to park, and people pay their ticket or whatever, and you have and people can drink beers and all that stuff. They don't have to worry about driving. I mean, because Arizona is that convenient.
Oh, yeah, it is. Arizona is
the
best place. The
World Ball Classic
is
there,
right
too,
now.
Right now.
By the way, the insider Steve says hi.
Hello, Steve.
He says he was listening in before we went off air. So we're in overtime. So.
Okay, well, we should go, but... Okay, wish me luck on this one for my draft. I think I'm going to beat all the boys. You know that I'm
curious
about...
Are you
going to
be on the board? Are you going to be on the board on Monday?
I hope so.
You hope it gets around that fast, right?
What do you mean? What board?
Well, are you going to be on the board, you know, with a pick on Monday?
Oh, absolutely. We have 50 rounds.
Okay, then we'll talk about what your next bet. Let us know who you take. And on
I never said my team. Can I say my team real quick? My offense?
Yeah, sure.
I got Ryan Braun, Beltre, Yonis Cespedes, Curtis Granderson I got, I don't know when, like the seventh round because no one's taking him. But it's a long season, so I'll just stash him until, you know, it was like you just can only let him drop so far. I got
right.
Mark Trumbo, Danny Espinosa.
I like that.
Lincecum, Wainwright, Zimmerman, Sanchez, Kadire, Brandon Belt, Cameron Maben.
So the question would be, with your lineup, what does your counterpart think of your lineup?
Well, he likes it. I mean, he really likes Cameron Maben, and he really wanted me to try to get Cameron Maben, and I finally got him the last round, and he likes it. He likes Wainwright. He likes the value that I'm going to be able to get out of Wainwright and Lincecum, and, you know, I got Brandon Belt, who he really likes, and, I mean, I don't really ask because I'm not really going to do what he tells me to do. I talk to him about it.
He'll give you a suggestion, and it's almost like a total one.
Well, I mean, we disagree a lot, but I do definitely take his he's as knowledgeable as anybody, and so I take his opinion seriously. I just don't always agree with it, but I do talk to him a lot about it. Like the other day, I'm like, you know, I'm walking in and it's my turn to pick, and I'm like, run up on the bathroom, and I'm like, hey, and I open the door, hey, and he goes, so who would you take? And, you know, he's trying to give me two players of who I would take in the draft, and he's trying to put his Tout Wars team together. And so I'm like, I need to know who you would take. We both said it at the same time. That's the conversation live that we have.
Well, that and you guys need the and if anybody needs the reality show, it's you guys.
That's what he was saying the other day. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I think.
Put up a camera and you're just so I can see you at the Breakfast Island. I have an argument over players.
We have our friend Arielle staying here too. She's from Tennessee, and she's blonde too, like me. And she so Lenny's always walking around acting like, you know, he really feels like he lives in the Series Three's Company. He's like, how many people can really say that they live Three's Company, you know? And just
yep. Definitely. So.
So okay,
right, well,
dude. Well, I was happy to talk to you today.
Yeah, we'll turn around and do it on Monday.
We're
going to
write a blog on
a
whole new group of sleepers. If anybody's interested, you should be interested because the sleepers that we have now are totally not sleeping. It'll be at fantasypros911.com.
Check that out. We are out of here. I hope everybody has a good weekend. Also, make sure you join us on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We have IFL football on Saturday. The Nebraska Danger are going to be on our eyesights. They're taking on the Colorado Ice in Nebraska. Also, check us out. Don't forget about Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday morning. It's fun. It's entertaining. So check it out. And then on Sunday on the Couch Potato Sports Show, we will be doing the That Being Said roundtable that we have every Sunday. So check it out. And you can check it out also a little bit later on. Don't forget the Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. I'm Sunday Clark, the largest working man in sports radio, and I'm out of here. Have a great day, everybody.